Coming up next is the Professor James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroads. Now on shortwave, WWCR, frequency 5.070 at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and also on Reality Radio Network Internet at www.realityradionetwork.com on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
Good evening. November 23rd, 2006, Thanksgiving. And the topic I'd like to talk about tonight, many times we give thanks for, you know, it's assumed we have many things to be thankful for, but I don't think anybody ever analyzes and digs into the question, do we really have definitive goals that were accomplished this year that we have to be thankful for on a global basis? Now, if you were a globalist, if you were Bill Clinton, I'd say he had a pretty darn successful year. If you were Hillary Clinton, you'd say the same. If you were the Bushes, you would say you had a darn successful year, in spite of the public outcry and the turn of public sentiment towards some of these people. They've had a banner year, and so have their buddies. But in the meantime, have the rest of us had a banner year? In other words, has the human race advanced? Are we someplace that we should be right now, or have we walked backwards 50 years into the dark past, into the cave ages? And that's a very interesting question, because the populace collectively really doesn't do much at all. And I believe that therein lies one of the great problems of the human race, is that we depend on governments to do our work, and that's the way it was set up originally, because the average individual is just working paycheck to paycheck, or trying to get ahead, or just trying to maintain in many cases. But collectively, as a human race, we really have not proceeded to the goals that we have to be at this point in time. So do we really have something to be thankful for? And of course, many times I come off as being a negative person. But I personally very much push myself. I push myself on projects that I'm working on and goals that I have in my personal life, my science goals, etc. And I've always pushed myself, and I don't see the rest of the public doing that. I see a lot of commentary, a lot of armchair quarterbacks, basically, with a lot of commentary, but not a lot of action. Not a lot of people really saying, you know, this is where I think the world should be, and I'm going to move towards that end. I think it's deplorable in this year of 2006 that we should still be dealing with, in fact, I contribute to charitable organizations myself as much as I can, but in this year of 2006, with a vast amount of plenty that is available on this planet, it is amazing that we still, the charitable organizations are actually hurting. They're actually starting to go under. Food shelves are becoming bare because people are just in dire straits. The problem is that collectively the human race does not have leadership. And every time leadership comes out of the populace, it is squelched by the few people who seem to always end up in control. Now, I'm not going to go into political commentary tonight, but I just wanted to mention that in the world today, I don't think that this year we have a lot to be thankful for as a human race. I think the standards of the human race have been set far back. I believe that the goals of the human race then, of course, my biggest goal personally, as I view the human race, and I don't think many people do that. I think when people sit down to eat their turkey dinner, like today, they thought about themselves. What did I gain this year? How many of them actually sit down and think of what did the human race gain this year? Are we better off this year than we were last? What have we done collectively this year as a human race to be thankful for? And so I would mark 2006 as a year that should go down in history as a year that we do not have anything collectively to be thankful for. You have to work hard. You have to gain. Now, imagine the first Thanksgiving when the pilgrims were here and waves of pilgrims had come before them and failed. The original colonies that failed because they just, for some reason, I mean, it was very dire conditions. They landed. They had to try and plant crops. They didn't know how to farm the way we know today. The Indians eventually showed the white man how to farm and plant corn, etc., ultimately allowing him to succeed through that first critical season. They had never seen winters like we have here. Because of the European climate, they weren't accustomed to 40 below temperatures, that type of thing. And eventually they made metal stoves to heat their houses, and they constructed their houses with a furnace in the basement, a great big furnace where they would heat the house through the winter. But those first few winters were very difficult. And so when they had their Thanksgiving, they were truly thankful. I mean, that was life and death. It wasn't because they got a raise or because a new shopping mall went in down the street where it'd be easier to go shopping, or their credit card limit had been raised by $200 or $300. They were thankful because they had survived. And the majority of the people in the world today are on a very much a survival basis, but collectively, once again, I don't see that the human race has advanced. I see class warfare. I see warfare between the sects that are around the world. I see people falling for a very low grade of human existence and somehow being trapped into this hatred that we should hate other people. And, you know, those type of things, that's a degradation of the entire human population when those type of activities occur. So on this day, 2006, Thanksgiving Day, November 23rd. I don't see that the human race has a lot to be thankful for. When we have people talking about, gee, I wonder if it's okay to torture and how much torture is okay. This is absolutely insane that we are going back to Middle Ages techniques to try and coerce people into talking, and who knows who's being arrested, who's being taken aside, etc. And the thing that probably bothers me the most is the fact that the average person on the street is so clueless regarding these issues. So at any rate, I want to talk, this leads into another topic. I want to talk a little bit about cycles, superstition, and science. Now, of course, the year 2012 is becoming a big issue. Apparently, I just saw Newsweek, the September 25th issue. There was a short half-page article on the alleged cycling of the Mayan calendar in 2012, and of course it's going to be the end of the world, etc. But the problem is that these cycles in the calendar, this is very misrepresented. The Mayans had many calendars, and by the way, I do get a kick out of this. when they show the picture of the Mayan calendar, they in fact have a picture of Machu Picchu, which is from the Incas. So, you know, the article, just putting something together to flash in front of the public. Doomsday 2012, galactic alignments, you know, I call it the next Y2K, picking a date on which something is supposed to happen because a date happens or a calendar cycles over. That's what happened in the year 2000 and literally nothing happened. The only thing that really did happen was some panic. And, I won't go into more detail on that, but 2012 is a non-issue. And apparently there are, according to this article in Newsweek, there are over 100 books on Amazon.com claiming imminent disaster, etc. So, once again, overload on a topic where many people are jumping in to try and carry a hype. That's all you can call it. Is try and sell a book based on hype with no real research done. So how could 100 authors write on such a topic? I got a kick out of when my Atlantis to Tesla book came out, and I don't pre-announce my books for a very good reason, but the night that I released that book, The Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, all of a sudden, amazingly enough, there were hundreds of Tesla books all of a sudden hit the market. And there were all of a sudden instant Colburn experts popping up all over the place. The Colburn that I had received, the real Colburn Bible, it's not really a Bible, but people call it that because it's similar to a Bible. But the original one I received was many years earlier. And all of a sudden you find many people claiming to be having received these from the Far East or all kinds of ridiculous things. And so that brings me into another type of comment here. And I'm going to get back to this topic of cycles, superstition, and science. But I would categorize the year 2006 as being the year of people making false claims of ownership. And one of the biggest false claims of ownership is coming down the pike right now in the case of water. Apparently, there are some people going around claiming that, gee, nobody's ever claimed the water before, so they're claiming it. But obviously, this doesn't make any sense. But the year 2006 being the year of people making false claims of ownership. And of course, the internet is rampant with people. For example, I see it all the time. Wikipedia is a harbor for charlatans, imposters, whoever wants to post on there and be an expert, all of a sudden is an instant expert. Claiming degrees that they don't have, all kinds of crazy stuff going on, misinformation, and I feel sorry for kids today because when they go out and search for something on the internet for information, the first thing that pops up is Wikipedia. And I don't think people really understand it's an issue that's gotten out of control. But once again, it's a harboring place for people making false claims of ownership. This issue of water is working in the background. I've talked about it, a couple of weeks ago I did a radio show on that. More information will be coming out soon in various forms. But understand that there are people out there making claims to water. Now, imagine how ridiculous that is, because you've been able to basically take water out of the ground. Cities have taken water out of the ground, put it in their systems, and built an infrastructure where they distribute it to the populace, And all of a sudden somebody comes in and says, oh, by the way, I own that. Of course, that's ridiculous, but what it's going to come down to is who has the power to back up what they're saying. Now, you could say, well, you don't own that, but if those people have put infrastructure and power behind them, guns, police, militia, laws, whatever they want to claim, then it's going to come down to very soon who can back up what they're saying. So, at any rate, that's a very interesting point, because that's why I talk about Thanksgiving Day 2006. It's a day not for Thanksgiving. It's a day to realize that we do not have anything to be thankful for, and that's a very scary thought. I'd rather have a show telling about all of the things we have to be thankful for. What if I could come on this show and say, we have accomplished space travel, we have colonies in space, we have a space colony that is moving out for the first time in the solar system, totally independent of Earth, fully sustainable. We have 10 more that are about to be launched, and this will guarantee the survival of the human race. What if I could say something like that? What if I could say that every person on this planet has eaten well today? What if I could say that all of the water resources are being allocated properly, and these resources are for the benefit of the people? What if I could say that the people have taken back the oil resources from the conglomerates that don't pay for any of these resources, yet sell it to you for an exorbitant price, who control the distribution of these resources, whether it be oil or water, whether it be information, news? Just about everything today is controlled. So what if I could come on this show and say, we have a free press. Oil prices are at 16 cents a gallon, as they are in Venezuela, where there's somebody in charge who's taking care of the people and not the corporations. What if I could say that? I can't. That's the problem today, Thanksgiving Day 2006. There's misinformation, there's con artists, there's people trying to sell a false story, the 2012 the world is going to end story. I just wonder how many books these people are actually selling. With 100 authors, people must look at that and go, this is goofy. You know, this is just starting to get darn right crazy. And, you know, when this 2012 issue first came out, a number of people that I deal with all the time said that this is a date, the first date, 2003, May 15th, 2003, the so-called Planet X is going to crash into Earth and everybody's going to die scenario, obviously was to a precursor of disinformation, and it appears that 2012 is a post-cursor. In other words, it is an omen, it is a ploy, a disinformation ploy, to make people think that, well, gee, it's only 2006, we got 6 years to go before anything happens, and in the meantime, a lot is happening. That allows the people who work behind the scenes, the Clintons, the Bushes, and their entourage of World Bank-controlled entities to move out and gain control of the water, gain control of borders, gain control of international trading, gain control of the monetary system, and gain control of warfare, that type of thing. That allows these people, while all of us are sitting back here sleeping, closing our eyes, dozing, and thinking about 2012, these people are off very busy doing things, garnering advantage for themselves so that they can move into the future in control. And that's what they're all about, is control. It's a very psychologically disturbed individual. that moves into those positions and has no interest in the public can try and deceive the public. In fact, hires teams of people who are trained in disinformation to try and falsify information, falsify images, so that the public sees something else. It's smoke and mirrors. So, do we have something to be thankful for? At this point in our existence, I would say no, because the human race, the human species, is very vulnerable. We have succeeded in the past to survive some of the great earth catastrophes, but that's no guarantee that the human race, to the man, is going to survive in the future. Some of these events have been very devastating, to the point where we know that a very high percentage of at least large animals on Earth died and went extinct. Extinction is a very great possibility, and it could happen very quickly and very decisively. Mother Nature is not kind or forgiving. It's much like a shark in the water. If you're swimming, that shark sees you. If that shark sees you as food, then you're food. If that shark is hungry, typically they don't attack humans. But if that shark happens to be hungry that day and you are in his field of vision, then you might become shark food. And that's the way it is in the universe, in the celestial sphere where catastrophes can come in and damage Earth at any time. So the point is that to be thankful, I would want to come on this show and say, we have accomplished a great goal. We have put human being colonies in space. We have moved them around to where at least some of them will survive even in the most stringent of Earth-wide catastrophes, and they have the resources to eventually come back to Earth and repopulate it. I can't say that today. In fact, there's no foresight to see any of this happening anywhere in the near or even distant future. So when I complain about the National Space Agency, when I complain about the petty Earth wars, people are still focused and fixated on their television set on the nightly news. The nightly news is is nothing more than a diversion. We live in a world of diversions. And these diversions are put in front of you very skillfully by people who do not want you to succeed or understand what your birthright is. How many times has the evening news come on and said, look, we have to get our act together as a human race. We cannot deal with politicians lying anymore. We cannot deal with the majority of people in Congress being pedophiles. These are the kind of things that, they find one or two and then they throw them out or they sanction them or whatever. But you have to understand this is the existence in Washington has degraded to the point that they allow this type of thing. And it's not just one or two people. It's actually the majority. There is a culture of deceit and evil that has permeated Washington. There is a culture of deceit and deception. There is a culture that wants you to see some kind of image over here when they know that this is their image. And if they know, in fact, this has been going on for a very long time, they know that if the public really knew what was going on in Washington, there would be a mass uprising and none of those people would last through the night because of how evil and corrupt they are. How can you have 80,000 paid corporate representatives in Washington handing money and benefits to congressmen and imagine that they're thinking of your best interest? So at any rate, once again, year 2006. I wish I had something positive to say about what we should be thankful for. I'm going to turn to a little bit of a positive note. Today I was reflecting myself on my own past and my own gains and my own fortunes, good fortune, bad fortune, etc., over this past year, and not only this past year, but over my many years of working. And the one biggest thing that I'm thankful for is that my negative experiences have given me a tremendous amount of insight in how to run my personal operation and how to run my science work so that I can continue doing a good deal of important work. Much of it goes on behind the scenes that the public never sees, but it allows me to, you know, sell my books. It allows the public to get those books and read them. And I know that when people read those, they are very thankful. This is not a money-making operation. This is not something that I'm gaining a tremendous profit from and living high off the hog. In fact, in the general case, this is at most a break-even proposition. But what it allows me to do is give my message directly to the public. And for that, I'm very thankful, because you get the information. My background and all of the work I've done, I know I'm a source of information that you will not find anyplace else, because of the contacts I've had, the places I've gone, the things I've seen. And of course, there's always those that entourage of people that try and copy what I do, but you'll always notice that they have nothing really to say. If you look at those people, they have nothing original that they've ever done. And so when people listen to me, they know that, for example, the research I've done, I've taken meticulous amount of time to formulate my own ideas and then boil them down and then transfer them out to the public. Earlier this evening, I had a chance to go out and mingle with the populace, let's put it that way. And I was very amazed. I walked into a gathering of young college kids back from school for vacation. And they were all talking and, of course, renewing acquaintances. And how refreshing it was to see these people all, you know, smiling and glowing, and young people, you know, with bright futures, hopefully. And, you know, these were the lucky kids. These were the very fortunate kids that I was seeing. The kids that probably go to the best colleges, have wealthy parents. It just happened to be the kind of place where those people might congregate the day before Thanksgiving, home from college, on the college break. But what I also noticed as I looked around is that it was very obvious that most of these people are doing very standard things. They're going to school, they're probably getting good grades, but if one were to look objectively at everything that's going on with these kids today, do they really have a goal? Is there a collective goal that they are striving for? Is there a collective leadership that is bringing these kids up to some higher standard where the world will be a better place? Or are they just going to go out and get good jobs and buy nice houses and drive nice cars and wear nice clothes and be, you know, the basically the same thing their parents were? And, you know, these people work hard. I'm not taking that away from them. But the point is that Earth and the human race cannot go on just expending resources on frivolous pursuits. And if that's the choice that people make collectively, then the human race is going to end up looking up into the sky one day, and that's going to be a flash in history, gone, either driven back to the cave ages with a few people surviving or none surviving at all. The human race would be liquidated. So as I looked amongst these young people with very happy, to be back with their friends on, a vacation break, I just realized that all of the education that has preceded, that has gone before, all of the education that they have received, and supposedly these are the cream of the crop, the best kids on the planet, so to speak. Isn't it interesting that collectively they don't really have direction other than getting a degree, getting a job, following the same routine that has been going on for, the past 100 years. And then I look out on the street, and I went to another area around the city, and I saw kids with shabby jeans and on a skateboard, two or three of them in a parking lot of a home improvement center. No place to go, but that's where they were. And it was rather cold the other night. Cold and windy, but here were these kids out there skateboarding and, visiting with each other with literally nothing to do. And I look around and whether they're rich kids going to college or whether they're poor kids skateboarding in a home improvement parking lot, kids today simply do not have any direction. And I have to, when I went to school myself, when I went to college, things were much the same, but I have to fault the leaders of colleges today. Unfortunately, they keep kids so busy, they keep them so occupied with all the things that you have to do, that I think they're really not getting an education. It all looks good on paper. They all get good grades. They all go out and get good jobs. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? I don't think that cycle, if we just continue that on and on and on, it's not going to get us where we have to go. How many of these kids have really thought about the overall existence of the human race? I've said many times that when kids get out of high school, they should be given a one-way ticket to a third world country where they have to live and work. And the only way they're going to get back is to live and work amongst the poorest people in that country and gain enough money to finally make it back here. And if you did that, you would have a very, very, very different population. The way people vote, the way people think, the way people run their lives would be very much different. And I believe they would appreciate things a lot more. They would, talking about Thanksgiving, they would be thankful for what they have, as with the kids that I saw this evening. As I said, wealthy kids back enjoying each other's friendship from all of them going to the best colleges and universities around the country. Do they really understand what it is to be thankful? Do they really understand what the rest of the world is like? And these are supposedly our future leaders. These are the people that will be in corporate America in the future. How can they possibly understand what a good corporate citizen is if they've never seen the rest of the world where they're taking resources? We live with 16 times the average footprint of resources than the average person in other countries, which means that the population of 300 million Americans is really almost the equivalent of 5 billion people, resource-wise. Imagine that. Just start thinking about that. That 16 times 300 million get you up to a very significant population resource consumption rate. And I've talked about that before in my radio show. But imagine these people smiling, very happy, all very satisfied. Are they really accomplishing what needs to be done? Are they getting good grades, or are they getting bad grades in life? I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here to talk about the source of water. And of course, the people who follow my work understand that water comes from comet stages. There was probably a certain amount of water, at least the basic composition, hydrogen and oxygen, probably mixed with many other elements in the original Earth. But water is coming into this planet every day, a little bit at a time. And it comes from hydrogen and oxygen that is in outer space. So isn't it strange that certain people around the world today are claiming that they own water? What a strange and bizarre claim. It's something that is essential to your very existence, much more so than oil. It is very much a part of your existence, and it's very much a part of our planet. The water situation is going to become critical, and this is going to be a forced venue on the populace of the Earth. If someone controls water, then they simply control everything, every aspect of your daily life, far more than oil, far more than energy. So isn't it interesting that people are making those claims? And the very obvious answer is that, well, how can they come along in the year 2006 or whenever they were making these claims, and all of a sudden they claim that they own something, and they claim that nobody else has ever made claim to these. So that all of a sudden, well, they're claiming them and they own it. But obviously there is a historical right of ownership that belongs to the populace, the human population of the Earth. Do the deer own the water? Do the antelope own the water? Or do they just take it and borrow it for a little while? And should they be charged just like they intend to charge human beings for water? Water is a resource of the planet. So who owns it? Can someone conceptually make a decision that all of a sudden they own it and they control it and they can charge you for it? That's what's actually going on right now around the world. UN is the primary source and focus of this kind of activity. And of course, if you want to gain control of the world, then you have to gain control of all of the organizations. So what I've seen in my career is that every organization that is worth anything, every organization that really is striving to do something, very quickly becomes infiltrated by the destroyers, the people who that their only goal in life, their only joy in life is destroying things that they didn't create. And you see these people in the White House. It's a very distorted attitude that if they destroy things, then it will be good for them. They will get more. Now, I heard a guy say once, it was a very interesting comment, was area where he lived. He said that he didn't want the roads fixed up because fewer people would go there. What a strange and what an interesting comment. In fact, they thought that if they kept the area in a very dilapidated state visually, then fewer people would go there and they could continue living the lifestyle that they had. So that I thought that was a very interesting comment. But I also think that the people who believe that they are you know, gaining control of the earth by destroying what everybody else has. What a strange mentality. And on a day like Thanksgiving Day, isn't it interesting that there are people who are trying to gain notoriety, power, and command of the world by destroying what everybody else has? And typically, an intelligent leader would build up the populace to make them improve. They would build up a corporation, for example, to make it succeed, to make it be worth more in value to all of its stockholders and shareholders. But that's not what's going on today. It's like people are destroying things so that they can personally gain more and nobody else can get at it. Not realizing that this is creating a scenario where they actually destroy themselves. So there's a very strange psychological distortion going on today. There's a very strange psychological abnormality in the leadership of corporations and in government. This is worldwide. It's in Russia with Putin. It's in other countries. You have people who are ego-driven. It is one of the easiest ways to control people is with their ego. And so where is the world going with a situation like this? Once these egos start driving and taking control, then in a dialectic, the opposite end of the spectrum, the other countries, will all of a sudden start taking the same tack because they do that as a defensive mechanism. So once the first person comes out of the box and starts threatening the rest of the world, then the rest of the world has to respond, and it actually creates the situation that everybody was hoping would not develop in the first place. In other words, arms build up, etc. But remember that the biggest business in the world today is arms sales. I've somewhat diverted from the topic that I began with just a few minutes ago. That is the topic of cycles, superstition, and science. Now, in ancient history, I believe at this point we're all very aware that superstitions were developed by people who really didn't understand what was going on around them. The term hurricane, for example, is the term from the Arawak Indians of the Caribbean, who believed that the hurricanes were a god, a powerful god that over which they had no control. So they called it the hurricane, the god of the hurricanes. And they, in fact, believed that this was a deity. And we look at history, and of course this is what Velikovsky so eloquently pointed out, was that the gods in the heavens talked or spoken of in ancient mythology were in fact the warring of planets and comets coming through the solar system. A very interesting observation, as he talked about in great detail, what the ancients saw. And of course, the Colbrun, something that Velikovsky did not have access to, corroborates that story. Very interesting that ancient history, the origins of religion, etc., superstitions, all types of information that are passed down to us today, really came from actual events, and there was no scientific explanation. So the interesting point, though, is that people want to believe in cycles, that something is cyclic, that it'll happen again. But what's really lost in this is that people think that the same cycle and only that cycle is the repetitive cycle that is going to influence mankind or devastating events, etc., such as the Mayan calendar, that in 2012, since something may have happened a million 872,000 days ago, that something, in fact, is going to happen again. The Mayans had many different calendars. In fact, the calendar that they refer to in this 2012 Christmas, or not Christmas, actually December 21st, the winter solstice date for 2012 that they're referring to, is just one of many Mayan calendars. In fact, that is not the calendar that was used by the Mayans to predict devastating events. There were many Mayan calendars, and so the people that are using this date, it's a kind of a catch number. It's like Y2K, or it's the 2000 event, or something that, you know, people are always, and this was back in the May 15, 2003 time frame, it's always a catchy date. It's something that's going to trigger people's minds, gain their attention, and make them look over here while something is going on over there. So this has happened throughout history. People always want to know dates. I remember during the thick of the Planet X issues, which actually is still going on. People are still, every time you talk about Planet X, people ears perk up. But the point is that people want to hear simplistic dates. They don't want to know about details or how to prepare. They don't typically want to hear anything, but they want a date. And if you give them a false date, they'll even grab onto that just because they want a date. They want a time frame. They want to know exactly when something's going to happen. It's the Big Pen Society. You grab something off the shelf and it should work every time. And it should work for exactly that amount of time, and then you throw it away and you get another one. It's kind of that mentality that man should be given a certain set of basic cycles, and those cycles will continue, and those are the only cycles. And so it's when I talk about the many Planet X objects that are out there, most of which, or 99% of which, we've never come in contact with in our recent history, it's amazing that people simply don't get that point. They want to grab on to some date, even though it's a false date, like May 15, 2003, or December 21st, 2012. They're not interested in real information. They're not interested in digging. This is the thing I always, when people pick up, they start looking into the electrical nature of the universe, etc. They want quick, easy, soundbite answers, and it is really not a topic that lends itself to easy, quick soundbites. You have to study a lot. The whole topic of Velikovsky is really complex. The whole topic of the physics of how the electrical nature of the solar system, the science behind this is very complicated. If you read my books, the four book set, for example, you've just scratched the surface of how all of this really works. So when people want simplistic explanations, or they just want, just tell me this, give me a date, they don't understand how ridiculously off mark they are with the important information. There are ways to survive as a human species. There are ways to survive as an individual, and there are ways to survive as a country. But I should say, on this day, Thanksgiving 2006, that we have not come to grips as a society with any of these. So I'm going to close the show a little bit early tonight. Something has come up here, and I'm going to close out just a little bit early. I rarely do this. But in summary, I don't think that we have a lot to be thankful for this year. I think that when we're eating turkey and trying to relax and imagine that we've done a great job this year, that we really have to look objectively and believe that the youth have been we have failed the youth of the world. We have failed the populations of the world. We have failed the third world countries. The world is a much more dangerous place now than it was 10 years ago. The world is far from being secure. The world is far from having an organized plan to survive, to create the survival of the species. All of these things have been simply passed over. And when we watch the evening news, or when, which I don't do at all, by the way, or when people go out to an election where they may vote in certain people, but the old, like the Democratic Congress, some people go, oh, well, now there's going to be change. Believe me, there's not going to be any change. The same people running this show are the same people. Just imagine that hundreds of thousands of people in federal agencies that did not change. An awful lot is going to remain exactly the same. So, once again, on this day, 2006, Thanksgiving, I don't believe that the human race has anything to be thankful for at this point. And in the flash of an eye, the human race could disappear. As we know it, that's an unfortunate thought, but that's reality, and that's what this show is all about. So leaving just a little bit early tonight to take care of some pending issues, but I'll be back next week with a full show dealing with science topics, the electrical nature of the universe, and by the way, I should include right now that Popocatepetl has been emitting a fairly good plumes the last number of days. It's on an erratic cycle, which means that it is unpredictable. One of these days, if this continues, the plumes continue to get larger. It's more erratic. It used to be on a 4-day cycle. Sometimes it'll go 1 to 2 days. The lava is coming out the dome. Every few days, there's a lava expulsion from the dome. So, I believe that the situation there is worsening. That the people living in Mexico City, I think, are in a very real danger of having that volcano erupt in the near future. It's very difficult to predict these things, but in fact, I'm keeping an eye on that as earthquakes continue to rumble around the Pacific Rim. And just a quick solar update for the past week. The sun has been relatively calm this past week. We are in a solar minimum, definitely in the solar minimum at this time. But that can change because of incoming comets. We've seen a couple large ones over the past few weeks coming in close to the sun. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And as always, I will be talking about the Planet X issue in upcoming shows. So once again, this is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And on Thanksgiving Day 2006, as never before, we are at the crossroads. Good night.